Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back into today's conversation on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm your co-host, Zach Clinton, and I believe you will be so encouraged by today's conversation as we have renowned psychologist, speaker, and author, Dr. Rona Epstein, joining us today. Dr. Rona, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Zach. I'm happy to be here.
You know, let's set the scene for our audience. We're currently at our 2024 Stand Strong Mega National Christian Counseling Conference. This is exciting times. The energy is building, Dr. Rona. And I'm just interested up front. We've gone through some difficult times the last several years. People are really hurting, but community is needed now more than ever. Dr. Rona, why are events such as this so important for such a time as this?
Oh, community is so important for believers. I think even since the pandemic, when people have become more and more isolated, and, you know, God says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But when we're together, we help each other. We help each other in our ministries. We help people who are hurting. We all need each other. Together, we're better.
That's exactly right. We were not created to do this life alone. We're going to talk a lot today about recovery. We're going to dive into a lot of the resources that God is working in and through your life and providing to those that are hurting. One of them, though, comes from our AACC Hope and Healing Workbook Series. This one's specifically a guide to holistic recovery for food addiction. Before we dive into some of, you know, the nitty-gritty, how people get and fall into this trap or this cycle of addiction, eating disorders, so on and so forth, but then a process of recovery. I know this is very near and dear to your heart. This is personal to you. This is part of your story and your testimony. I would love for you to just to share with our audience today, Dr. Rona, what your story looked like and how you found recovery.
Well, I always joke and say I came out of the womb looking for ice cream. if that was possible.
It
was,
yes.
I don't know. Maybe my mom was eating too much, too many sweets. I don't know. I've always had sort of this obsessiveness around sugar since I was a little kid, you know, hiding candy and being obsessed about it since I was little. So it was just one of these things. They say addiction's progressive, and for me, it was progressive. So, I mean, a little kid sort of looking for more candy and getting kind of a little nuts about it. Like, you know, I was only eating white flour and sugar, like pasta and candy and cookies and ice cream. And, I mean, basically my kid diet was Pop-Tarts, Captain Crunch, spaghetti, all things candy and cookies, and my parents couldn't get me to eat anything healthy, so I was hooked. I mean, like a real addict. Like I was hooked. Now a lot of kids just like that those foods, but I was kind of crazy hooked, and it grew into a disorder. And by the time I was like 12, I was binging and obsessed and hating my body and feeling really out of control and then starting the diets and the whole nine yards. And it became bulimia, and, which, by the way, I'm, you know, at an age where back then the word bulimia wasn't even a word. So there was no word, there was no treatment. I was just out of control and there was no place to go. And so I was in secret and I felt really, really sick. And it grew and grew until I was 17 and I found help. So, I mean, It was a devastating, horrible, secret life of binging and trying to act normal and being out of control in secret.
I appreciate just the vulnerability and your willingness to share that story. I know you've shared it all over the world. You share it with so many of the clients that you have the opportunity of walking alongside of. But to see the recovery that you've been able to experience, it provides a lot of hope for those that may be struggling with similar issues. I have some statistics here because as of 2023, stats have revealed that 9% of the United States population, or 28.8 million Americans, will have an eating disorder within their lifetime. The overall lifetime prevalence of eating disorders is estimated to be 8.6 among females, 4.1 among males. Every 52 minutes, one person dies as a direct consequence of an eating disorder. Global eating disorder prevalence increased. It really doubled between 2000 and 2018. These are some very real statistics. These should be alarming. But to be honest with you, Dr. Ona, not many people are talking about it. I would be interested, though, and when you hear these statistics with the work that you do, what do you think are some of the biggest and let's just say contributing factors to why there's such a spike in these stats, especially as of recent?
The research even backs up what I'm about to say here. I think there's no question that we don't really understand the connection between trauma, emotions, and food. I mean, I think we make jokes about it. I think in the movies, you see people drowning their breakups with ice cream. And everybody sees that as a normal reaction.
Yeah.
But for a normal person, having an ice cream binge after a stressful event, that will happen one time. Like alcohol, you might drink after a bad time. But a person who has an eating disorder does that all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's not just one event. It's like, I'm feeling stressed at work and my kids are driving me crazy and, you know, I'm irritated by my husband and everything
right.
that
happens. It becomes
happens,
a coping skill.
It's like yeah. the auto drive.
Yep.
Food is the way to cope with it all because it starts so young for people and it's so easy to, families do it. Everybody's doing it. We're doing it to entertain ourselves. We're bored. We're lonely. We do it when we watch TV. I mean, we're just sort of using food. It's yeah. just like, and nobody has anything to say about it. It's just like, that's what we do. It's like you don't ever think anything about it. Yeah. It's as a matter of fact, we celebrate. I mean, we learn like, oh, let's just celebrate, you know, it's the holidays. And instead of focusing on gratitude, we're like, let's eat.
Yes.
And it's all about the food instead of the gratitude. And when it's Christmas, we're like all about the food and where did Jesus' birth go? You know? And so there's some of that. But I think the research really points to trauma. I mean, especially with obesity and people with weight loss clinics, they see that people who are trying to lose weight, I work with binge eating and overeating, and people who have been trying to lose weight and they lose maybe weight on a diet program and then they gain it back. They're on the roller coaster. And what they're finding is that people who can't have sustainability, who are on these, you know, these tracks of going up and down, if you do a history, you'll often find that there's a high degree of unresolved trauma.
Whenever I see eating disorders, even in my own clinical practice, I typically think of three C's. It's comfort, control, comparison, right? So the comfort aspect is like kind of what you're mentioning. We all joke around and say comfort food, or we say, you know, these are the comfort things that we can do when I'm going through a hardship, right? At least food is there. That's kind of like what you're saying, even with alcohol, addictions, and certain things. Those are the vices we fill those voids with in our lives, the challenges and the struggles. But then at the same time, you talk about the control aspect. When life is just out of control, food sometimes becomes the one thing that you can control. This is the one thing that I have, though, Dr. Rona. I don't want to take away this, right? It's like the only thing that brings me joy or satisfaction in this life. But then in the next generation, especially, social media, the prevalence, I mean, all of these things that our kids are falling prey to, I feel like comparison is the biggest one. It's the thief of joy. We see what the media and culture has put out there as the ideal body. And so many kids are aspiring to have that very thing. Even if it's not genetically sound potentially for them, they want exactly what media has portrayed as perfection. Speak to those, in a sense, three C's. Comfort. We talked about control and comparison and why those are somewhat fueling a lot of this disordered eating or these unhealthy relationships with food, even within the next generation especially.
Right. Well, those are very good points. So I think the comfort is easy. Yeah. It's easy to, you know, to recognize that, because you're right. Food does, it actually works in the brain.
Absolutely.
And it you could see it. It's just actually the science will say that sugar is 8 times more addictive than cocaine. And what you see is that it's actually dopamine hits, and people are going for the dopamine. It's the pleasure centers in the brain. So it actually is a fix. And it's not, you know, we're not talking about nourishment. Our body needs to be nourished. When we talk about comfort food, that's it. And again, it's not, I'm not against having comfort. We should be comforted. We should enjoy our food. I'm all for that. But there is a big difference between the comfort that's sort of like the happy serotonin kind of happy that you get from eating a nourishing meal and the hits that we're looking for to create a high to escape and run from our lives. It's a different experience. So when people talk about drowning their feelings, you know, comfort from pain, escape, you know, from life, and that just spending all night in front of a TV going, you know, at it to get away from people and things. That's a different thing. And then comparison, you know, that's, I think, where a lot of the more like the dieting and nowadays with the GLPs and people, you know, if it wasn't, it's always been, there's always been something that people are doing to try to lose weight. You know, we've had decades of diet pills and surgeries, and now we're taking shots and trying to get to the perfect body. And then what happens is you go between, you know, we're trying to fix the problem that the food is causing with these other measures and the obsession. It's like, where's God in all of this? You know, like, instead of finding peace and wholeness, we're just kind of chasing either food for comfort or this happy feeling of like, if I have the perfect body, then I'll be okay, which is never true. When I work with people, they get down to a great size and they're still miserable, because the misery is not really about it's not about their weight. I mean, you see people lose all the weight and they're still in there picking on themselves. So, you know, I think it's challenging those dysfunctional patterns and really finding our hope in the Lord, regardless of our circumstance.
I'm Zach Linton, co-host here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, joined by renowned psychologist, author, and speaker, Dr. Rona Epstein. Dr. Rona, we've talked a lot about why some people really struggle with whether it be disordered eating, food addiction, unhealthy relationships with food, filling, right, these different vices into our lives to find peace, happiness, satisfaction. A lot of your work is built around that word, satisfied. Help our listeners understand, what do you truly believe is our ultimate form of satisfaction in this life?
I've been in recovery 41 years, but, you know, I didn't get this overnight, you know, and I have to practice putting myself right, you know, because, you know, it's not like I don't want control. I don't want disasters and wars.
Right.
It breaks my heart seeing what's going on in the world. So, and you know, I'd like my own life for things to turn out the way I want.
Of course, Me too.
I have things I want. You know?
That's right.
You know, I have my things. And, you know, who doesn't, right? And things don't always work out the way you want. I've had a lot of things that don't work out the way I want. But I had to learn to separate food and feelings. I had to learn to say, well, you know, my life, it takes a lot of work to say, okay, I trust you, Lord, with my life. And food is not a solution. And separating food from the rest of my life so that I have a clear way of eating that's nourishing and I like and I enjoy and that's good. And my rest of my life has nothing to do with that. These things don't have to match because I need them not to. Because if I, my old self will use food as a drug. So there's no drugging. I have to turn to God and use all the skills and tools that he gives me to cope with life. And so satisfied means he's my peace. He's my comfort. He's my strength. He's my rock. And that's a little, it takes a little more pressing into to him for my hope and my strength. And that means sometimes suffering. It means sometimes feeling the pain of life. But I know if I hang in there long enough, he'll relieve me. And it's not a fast fix. Like, food is a fast fix, but it's got lots of negative consequences.
What I've learned about suffering in my life is that it really provides opportunity for dependence on God. And I love the invitation that he extends each and every one of us, as you're mentioning, to find satisfaction when he says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? What a comforting statement that we have that rest that we can find in Christ in spite of the many challenges and adversities that we face in this life. I appreciate what you're mentioning when it comes to making sure, like you said, on the community aspect, find community, not just people that will surround you, but people that will support you and that will sharpen you. But then also what you're saying and kind of the word you're giving to not just clinicians, but to parents and trying to help raise up a generation that has a healthy understanding of what food is and what food can do, and making healthier choices, not shaming kids, but like you said, being supportive and encouraging to kids and helping them find healthy rhythms in their own personal lives as well. I think that is so important for our audience to hear today. Now, what I love to do, Dr. Onan, is we kind of wrap up our conversations, is just by giving our guests an opportunity to share one more kind of final word. We've talked about the word hope a lot, right? One more word of hope and encouragement and motivation to somebody out there today who maybe is in this process of recovery, but maybe feels a little deflated and discouraged like we've been talking about. What's just one final word that you would leave them with today that would just give them one more spark of encouragement that would just encourage them in this road moving forward?
I would say never give up. I would say never give up. I just heard a story the other day of somebody in recovery. She said she took 15 years to get herself into her freedom. And now she has 15 years of freedom. She didn't give up. And I know, I mean, this is not easy. And you see that with substance abuse, people going in and out of rehabs. When freedom comes from the Lord, because, see, I think the problem with us is that we don't understand how to turn it over and let God. When we get to the place of surrender, where God is doing in us what we can't do, we can't do it. We can't do it when we can't fight in willpower. We can't do it in our own strength. We have to learn to let God do it in us. And that's a hard lesson, to get to a place where he is working. It is his work in us. And that once that transformation happens and you get to that place, it's not a fight anymore. And that freedom is possible. It's just finding yourself to that place and fighting to get there. Not fighting for the rest of your life with fat calories and fat grams and fight all the time with the temptation and the food chatter and all the things. It's getting to peace and getting to Jesus being in charge of the whole story and living in freedom.
Don't give up, because his grace is sufficient for you, because his power is made perfect in our weakness. Don't white knuckle it. Don't clench it too tight. But like you said, when we surrender it over with open hands, that's when we'll truly find real satisfaction in this life. As we wrap up, I know that this resource, Hope and Healing for Food Addiction, that you wrote for us here at our AACC Hope and Healing Workbook Series, it's available at aacc.net/books. But Dr. Rona, where can our audience go to make sure that they find out more about you and all of the incredible resources that you have to offer? I know you also mentioned me the Satisfied Experience. Close us out with sharing a little bit more about that.
Okay, well, you can find me on drrona.com, drrhona.com. And I have several books. They're all on Amazon, yes, or wherever, you know, Dexterity Books. The Satisfied Experience is my newish baby. Yes. I have a 15-week intensive program that has been like a rehab that people can do online. It's not, you don't go in, you do it from home. Daily videos for 15 weeks and then a Zoom group. And it's a biblically based program where people can come together, and the communities have been very strong to really support each other in breaking free from overeating, binge eating. And it's just been an incredible experience to watch people really find recovery and freedom with God's help and with the help of other people. So I think the encouragement and the hope of the word and practical food tips, you know, that people are getting through going through this 15-week program, it's been a great experience for people. So anybody who's really struggling, who wants real help, this is a program, and you don't even have to leave your home. You can just do it right from home, but you do need a little time, but not that much time. You know, I made the program so it's doable.
Yes.
But it's definitely powerful.
What a valuable experience that I would encourage all of our audience to check out, the Satisfied Experience, but also be sure to go to drrona.com to check out all of your invaluable resources. On behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, Dr. Rona Epstein, thank you for your time, your willingness, and allowing God to continue to use you to help and to provide care and comfort to others. We love and appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, Zach. You're such a blessing.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Time magazine reported that families who regularly share meals together have kids who are less likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, get depressed, develop eating disorders, or even consider suicide. And here's the kicker. They're also more likely to do better in school, delay sexual activity, eat their vegetables, and hey, they might even know which fork to use. Now, this might surprise you, but the age group that benefits most? Teens. One national study found that those teens who ate with their families three times a week or less wish they had done so more often. That's because in the end, it's not about food, it's about time. It's about you, mom and dad, being present, sharing, shaping hearts. How often should you eat together? As much as possible. Why? Because the family that eats together stays together. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.